Welcome
Back to another episode of the Belgian Football Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Ben Jackson, and I'm joined by Scott and Joris. Scott and Joris, how are you guys doing?
Good, good. Glad to be back. Looking forward to another week of European football, even if the fans are locked out.
Yeah, same here. Happy to be here again. And let's quickly dive into our guest.
Absolutely. As Joris just said, we are joined by another special guest, continuing on from our other special match preview episodes that we've been doing on the podcast. And this one is looking at the upcoming Europa League fixture between Ghent and Hoffenheim, which takes place on the 29th of October. So to help us preview the match, we are joined by the man behind the Hoffenheim UK Twitter account, at Hoffenheim UK, Ryan. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Thank you very much for joining us. I think we'll just dive straight in to the question. In terms of this season, how have Hoffenheim been doing? I know everyone's kind of took notice of that 4-1 victory that you guys had over Bayern, but I've noticed you haven't won like a league game since. So kind of how the performance has been this season for you?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously that 4-1 victory is quite possibly the highest point I've ever been as a Hoffenheim fan. That was quite a stupendous occasion. But as you say, in the second part of your question, it has been a bit of a mixed bag. So we won our first two games, including that victory against Bayern. But then our next game was actually against Frankfurt. And this is actually a pattern that we've been noticing recently, in that the second halves for Hoffenheim have really been poor. So we lost the game in Frankfurt in the second half. And then, of course, we had the international break. And unfortunately, during the international break, our star man, Andrej Kramaric, actually managed to get COVID while away with Croatia. So he's actually been missing for our last two games. So that certainly hasn't helped. So we then played Dortmund, who, as you well know, are the second team in Germany. So to only lose 1-0 to them was not a disaster. And then yesterday we drew 1-1 with Bremen, which was, I don't know, a mixed bag. It was a sloppy goal that we conceded, but to come out with a point after conceding a goal, you can't be too disappointed with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, yeah, we all took notice of that 4-1 victory. And I think, like you said, missing Kramaric is a big one. You did have a win in the Europa League in your first game against Belgrade. How did the game go? Like, how did Hoffenheim perform?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, the game against Red Star. So that's kind of been a similar pattern to the last two games, in that it's been, without Kramaric, it's been quite a dull performance offensively. I mean, you could probably even call it boring, to be honest, if you weren't a Hoffenheim fan. But so we won 2-0 with two goals from two midfielders, one midfielder, Christoph Baumgartner, who I think is a player to watch in this upcoming game, and our striker, Munis de Boer. But it wasn't really a performance that inspired a lot of confidence. I expected more Red Star. They really didn't threaten offensively. I can't really remember too many shots from them. I guess the one positive for Hoffenheim is that, if you know anything about them, you know that historically for the past 10 years or so, they've been unable to defend. So to be able to keep a clean sheet was a positive. And I see that Ghent lost their last game 1-0 against Slovan Liberec, and the season's been a bit of a poor showing so far. So I'm feeling quietly confident in the upcoming game.
I'd kind of agree. I think I'm not feeling very confident about Ghent at all this season, if I'm honest. And I wasn't really surprised to see them lose to Slovan. So I think, yeah, this is definitely going to be quite a tricky game for them. If we just step back a little bit from the performances on the pitch, let's just talk a bit more about Hoffenheim and their kind of acceptance within German football. If most people who don't know might not know that they're not really very popular among other clubs in Germany, do you mind just like expanding a bit on that and then kind of explain how you ended up supporting a team that actually isn't very popular amongst other fans?
Yeah, of course. They're, I guess, the second least, well, the least popular team would be Leipzig, and then Hoffenheim would be a close second in that regard, I think. For those of you listeners who don't know, Germany has the 50+1 rule when it comes to supporter ownership or power, I guess, in that at least 50% plus one deciding vote has to belong to the supporters. And that is kind of in place to prevent a sort of, you know, in a worst case scenario, something like you would see at Man City or PSG, where you get a petrol state coming in, taking over and kind of almost making it impossible for anybody else in the league to do anything. So Hoffenheim have a majority owner. I guess it's probably best to start off with Dietmar Hopp, who's the owner. He actually was a youth player for the club when he was a student at a university nearby. And then, of course, after university, he went on to found the software company called SAP. And through that, he's become a multi-billionaire. And he decided to start, I think it was about the late 80s, early 90s, he decided to start investing in his local team that he played for, Hoffenheim. And, you know, the word billionaire probably doesn't bring up too many positive connotations, but this, I think is, you know, one of the few good guys, I guess, in that he's donated hundreds of millions to various different charities and children's education and that kind of thing. But the fact that because he's been an investor for so long at Hoffenheim, he's been allowed to become a majority owner. You know, there's a little clause in the 50+1 rule that if you've had significant investment for over 20 years, then you're allowed to take a majority stake. So you also see that with the likes of Leverkusen and with Wolfsburg, who are company teams for Bayer, Pharmaceutical and VW respectively. So I guess if you're going against the 50+1 rule in Germany, you're not going to be very popular. Dortmund fans in particular have not been too supportive of Mr. Dietmar Hopp, and on a number of occasions have protested. And in the last year or so, it's kind of been taken to another level. So Dortmund fans were actually on a bit of like a probation period, but they again protested. So they were banned for the next few games from visiting Hoffenheim. And that has kind of led to like a supporters from all sides coming together against the club. And it eventually culminated in a protest by the Bayern Munich fans at the end of last season when they were playing away at Hoffenheim. And the players and the club ownership didn't take too kindly to that. So there was actually a player strike on the pitch. And that's kind of, you know, added fuel to the fire. And then moving on to how I started supporting the club. I actually grew up abroad in the Far East in my early childhood. So I didn't really have an English team despite being from the UK. And then when I moved back to the UK, I read about this team called Hoffenheim, and I started playing with him on the video game FIFA and kind of just fell in love with the idea and ended up going out there for my 16th birthday and kind of just fell in love with the club completely, to be honest.
I love that you mentioned FIFA in there, because I remember playing as Hoffenheim on FIFA when they had Salahovic, Abassi, Barr,
yeah,
all those players. And then as a Reading fan, Sigurdsson moved to Hoffenheim, so I followed him there. And it's like, yeah, so I think most people like of that generation who played those FIFAs will remember that Hoffenheim were one of the best teams to be. They had like all like their players were just like solid.
Yeah, well, I mean, ever since they've come into the Bundesliga, they've been famous for developing young talent. So I think that's a massive part of FIFA, isn't it? That you try and find the hidden gems, and Hoffenheim's always good for a few hidden gems.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking of those hidden gems, we've already spoken a bit about Kramaric, and I don't know if you've got like an update on whether he's going to be back playing for the game. Looks all up in the air. But what other players should we look out for? Should like the Ghent fans look out for in this game?
Yeah, so the official announcement on Kramaric came about a week and a half ago now on a Thursday, just before the league season resumed after the international break. So his two-week sort of isolation period actually comes to an end on the day of the game. Obviously, he has to test negative for COVID, and it's still all up in the air, and the club's been a bit silent on whether he's going to be available or not. So whether he's in or not kind of affects what kind of team Ghent can expect to play. In terms of other players, one player I mentioned briefly earlier, Christoph Baumgartner, who scored in the last game, he's kind of our next sort of possibly major talent, I guess. He's just broken into the Austrian national team. He's an attacking midfielder, still being so young that he has, you know, games where he can go missing a bit. So he can be a little inconsistent, but when he's on his game, he's really, you know, one of the top young players out there, in my opinion. Elsewhere, we have Munis de Boer, who again scored last week. He's our Israeli striker. He's slowly this season starting to kick on from a bit of an up and down year last year in his first season. Who else can I think of off the top of my head? We have Robert Skov, the Danish winger. He's particularly a threat from free kicks and any kind of set piece delivery or long range shot, that type of thing. We have another youngster, Dennis Geiger, again in midfield, kind of keeps the play going. He's really someone to keep a hold of if you're trying to prevent Hoffenheim from taking control of the game. So I think there's various different players that could possibly be a threat on Thursday.
No, definitely. Baumgartner is definitely one player I've noticed being a fan of the Bundesliga. He looks like a really, really exciting prospect. Just going to hijack it quickly to have a little chat about Ilhas Bebu. As a Fortuna Düsseldorf fan, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. Are we like to see any Ilhas Bebu in this fixture?
It is quite possible, yeah. I mean, typically, so since he's arrived, he's been a little inconsistent, which I think is probably true of his entire career, to be honest. But he seems to definitely have taken another step at Hoffenheim. And his main attribute is his speed. So quite often he's been coming off the bench kind of as a speed merchant when defences are starting to tire in the game. Certainly against Bayern Munich, if anybody goes back and finds the highlights on YouTube, you'll see that the fourth goal was actually won by him on the counter-attack. He ended up beating a couple of players and winning a penalty. and from which we scored the fourth goal. So he's definitely sort of a joker in the pack off the bench type of thing. You know, you never know what you can expect from him.
I'll go hijack a little more. Is Ishak Belfodil actually playing some role in there? I just had an overview of the squad, and he's the one player, I think, with the Belgian competition, Belgian league history. Is he playing any kind of role in the current...
Yeah, so Belfodil's a bit of a weird one, really. So for those of you listeners who aren't aware, the now Leipzig manager, Julian Nagelsmann, kind of came to the fore and made his name at Hoffenheim. And under Nagelsmann, Belfodil was a real important player, certainly in his last season. But then he actually, when Nagelsmann moved on, the position was taken over by a player, manager called Alfred Schreuder. And early on in the season, Belfodil got injured. And it was a bit of a question mark what really happened. But Belfodil actually came out and, you know, really went after the club's medical team, said he was never going to play for the club again, was looking to leave as soon as possible. But then Schreuder was actually sacked a few games before the end of last season. Mm-hmm. And this season we have a different manager called Sebastian Hoeneß. And it seems that the relationship has been repaired somewhat. Although Belfodil is still kind of on the comeback from injury, he has played a few minutes here and there. He actually started the game last week against Red Star Belgrade. He looked very rusty, to be honest. So I'd be somewhat surprised if he did start this Thursday. But if he gets back to full fitness, I think he can certainly contribute in as the Europa League campaign goes forth.
Great. No, let's hope to see. Well, I hope to see a bit of Ilhas Bebu. Obviously, I want Ghent to win, but if Bebu can grab a goal, that'll make me happy. Obviously, we've mentioned that Hoffenheim won that previous game. What are kind of the expectations that you personally have as a fan for them this season, in the Europa League, sorry, and what would be considered a success in Europa League for Hoffenheim?
Yeah, so Hoffenheim are still fairly new to the whole idea of European football. This is only our third season in Europe. I think that coming into before the draw, the consensus among the fans was ideally we would get a marquee away day type of thing. In the past, we've had Liverpool and Manchester City, and Lyon, which have been big hits with the fans. But this season, especially with fans not being allowed to travel to various different countries, it's been a case of we just want to progress through the group. In the two previous occasions, we had one season in the Europa League, one season in the Champions League. We've actually only ever won one game in Europe before last week. So when we got the group draw, we were quite happy. We see it as a group where Hoffenheim can be considered arguably the favourites, and they should really be expected to progress. So I think it would be a major disappointment if Hoffenheim didn't progress. But with Hoffenheim's sketchy past in Europe, I'm not counting my chickens before they come home to roost, sort of thing.
Absolutely. What's your prediction for this game in terms of a score?
It is away from home. And the thing with Hoffenheim is you'll get games like the 4-1 victory against Bayern Munich, which nobody sees coming. But they have games like last season where we lost 5-1 at home to Mainz, who are a relegation candidate that season. So you can never really guess with Hoffenheim what's going to happen. But I guess, obviously, I'm not going to go against my own club, so I'm going to guess 2-1 to Hoffenheim.
Fair. No, I think, picking up those Mainz games is painful. Painful memory for me as a Dusseldorf fan, seeing all these teams around us winning and us going down.
There was that situation, it must be 7 years ago now, where Hoffenheim had to go and win at Dortmund on the final day, and Dusseldorf had to lose, and Dusseldorf ended up getting relegated that year because we actually beat Dortmund.
Oh, I remember that well. Yeah. I can't remember who was the goalkeeper for Dortmund.
Yeah, so Dortmund had Roman Weidenfeller in goal, but that he actually got himself sent off, and then the substitutions. So Kevin Grosskreutz ended up going
that in Dortmund was it. For the final penalty. Oh, the pain. I never forgave them for that.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel sorry to this day.
To be fair, we got destroyed by Hanover that evening. I think Didier Yaconan took us to pieces, so we probably deserve to get down on the back of that.
Painful. I still go back and watch the YouTube highlights on that sometimes. That's just one of my favourite games.
I don't think I'll be doing that. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Ryan. It's been great to have your Hoffenheim expertise, especially finding an English-speaking Hoffenheim fan. You're definitely a rare breed out there these days. So thank you so much for joining us. And I hope Hoffenheim have a good season, maybe a bad Thursday night against Ghent. But apart from that, they can have a good season.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure to speak with you guys.
No worries. And obviously, you can find Ryan's Twitter account. He just has the Hoffenheim UK Twitter account, at Hoffenheim UK. Definitely check it out to get updates on what happens at that club. Really interesting club, as Ryan's already said. Definitely around a Dietmar Hopp situation. I think if that is something people are interested in, there are a plethora of articles out there from which you can find information on that situation and kind of like the politics and the culture wars behind that at the moment. Yeah, so that concludes this special, this Hoffenheim special. As you well know, we have been having a lot of specials released. We are working very, very hard here at the Belgian Football Podcast to get these out for you. We have a couple coming up, so we hopefully you'll have listened to our Benfica ones and our Tottenham ones by now. And yeah, there's definitely a couple more in the pipeline. Thanks again, once again, to Scott and Joris for joining me, just sitting along for the ride and listening.
Pleasure.
Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been great. Cheers for your ears, everyone.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll speak to you again on another episode of the Belgian Football Podcast soon. ¶¶